Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my good colleague, Professor Richard Epstein, teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing for the Civitas Institute. We turn to breaking news. Wall Street Journal. Trump's tariffs questioned by appeals court. Subhead. Judges voice skepticism that president can use emergency powers to replace import schedule Congress adopted. One of the judges gave a salient quote that's useful. This is Judge Timothy Dyke of the court. It's just hard for me to see that Congress intended to give the president a wholesale authority to throw out the tariff schedule that Congress adopted after years of careful work. Professor, a very good evening to you. This was always hanging out there as something that the Trump administration was going to have to confront and either bypass or get over, get past, or be blocked by, which is a court that is deciding whether the president has the power to uniformly and unilaterally declare new tariffs, a power that was delegated in the Constitution, as you've guided me, to the Congress. And there's something about you cannot delegate the delegated. Good evening to you, Professor.
Yes, you sometimes can delegate the delegated. And indeed, the International Emergency Economic Act did exactly that, but they didn't do it under these particular circumstances. The question about intelligible principle goes back to the 1920s, in which the United States Supreme Court, speaking through Chief Justice Taft, said, you can delegate to a given body to calculate tariffs. And what that particular statute did is gave an elaborate formula that allowed you to determine almost to the penny the tariffs that had to be put on certain kinds of imported goods. And so the definition in that case of an intelligible principle was essentially a mathematical formula that worked. In this particular case, there is no such intelligible principle that has that degree of precision. Indeed, there's no principle at all. And so what happens is there are two questions you have to face. One is when you have a statute that gives power to deal with certain kinds of emergencies, what does it include? Two of the words in there which can be taken out of context are you can regulate the importation of goods. And people like Jack Goldsmith have argued those two words essentially allow the sky to fall in and the president to do anything. But there's a predicate for all of this, which seems to be ignored, mainly that you have to show that there's some kind of an emergency that's built into the statute. And so if you look under these statutes and see the kinds of cases that justify intervention, either here under the parallel provisions of the World Trade Organization, there are immediate stock market disasters that happen when a source of major goods to a given country is shut down, exchanges closed down, there's a tsunami or something of that sort. And the interventions are always short and to the point. The most dramatic of these and the longest of them was after the Iranian capture of things. The settlement tribunal allowed tariffs to be imposed in this very particular case, an extraordinary remedy. But in this particular case, what you have to understand is the entire thing is completely farcical because there is no emergency. The definition of an emergency that's given by the president is a tariff imbalance. Trade imbalance, which has been around for 100 years and so forth. And so it doesn't have immediacy. And he hasn't shown that it's harmful. The president is of this hopeless mind that if there's a imbalance of trade between two countries, that somebody's ripping off somebody else. And it just simply shows that he doesn't understand the first thing about the stuff on which he's declaiming. The reason you get a trade imbalance is that one company buys country buys from another more than it sells to that country. But these are part of an integrated economy. And it turns out that the guy who has a deficit when he buys from somebody else gets a surplus with a third party downstream when he sells. So if you keep the volume of transits going, you'll get all sorts of local deficits one way or another. But if you do it system-wide, these things will tend to balance out. And the higher the volume of transactions, the greater the social gain. And so what happens is looking at deficits gives you no information about whether the economy is working well. And it is perfectly consistent with the deficit that we see to have a booming economy. And if you want to describe a booming economy as a national emergency, then I suggest you take an elementary course in the English language to show what's going on. So these guys are seeing all of that. They see that this is a wildly broad delegation. They don't see the purpose that it's designed to achieve. And then when you look at the deals that have taken place, it's clear that Trump doesn't have any idea of what he is doing. The original deal is we'll basically impose tariffs and everybody else is going to feed our troughs. And the final deals are all reciprocal. And so if we are being ripped off by the other guys, then we're ripping them off, right? So it turns out what you do is you have a series of reciprocal tariffs, which are higher than they were before all this began, which means that everything is worse off. So these guys are just looking at the whole thing one way or another. And every single point, it seems that Trump is stretching this truth beyond recognition. The delegation doesn't look there. The emergency doesn't look to be there. The remedies seem to be totally crazy. And so now they propose to say, we're going to let you go ahead with this kind of charade and bring the entire world system down. And the other thing I think it's important to understand, and I'll make this point, is Trump says, look, the economy is booming. It's not the test. Economies boom for all sorts of reasons, having nothing to do with tariff policy. And so the best explanation we have is some of the important changes that Trump has made on immigration, blocking the border, energy policy and things like that, the lack of new stupid regulations that were the constant threat of the Biden administration means there are lots of positive features in the economy. That's what explaining the growth level. It's not the tariffs. There's no theory whatsoever which can tell you how tariffs can make things grow. They're differential taxes. All taxes hurt, and differential taxes hurt more than other taxes. So it's kind of an open and shut case. And if the court has the courage of its convictions, it should give a preliminary injunction tomorrow, stop all this from taking place, let Trump take it to the Supreme Court, where he will be thrashed. That particular court has kind of changed its minds on delegation, and more it's asking for clearer and clearer definition by Congress of what it is that you can do. And this is so-called the major questions doctrine, very much in the news today. And if you've got a question like this massive transformation that Trump is trying to put on, it's pretty hard to say that this is just a minor tweak of the overall system. It's a usurpation of all the work that had been done by Congress, and it's a mindless exercise to boot. The president really needs to go back and to take economics 101. His actions are hurting this country on this issue in a way which is simply inexcusable. And this court and the Supreme Court should stop it.
The authority of the courts, as I understand it, turn on the interpretation of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977, signed into law by Jimmy Carter at the end of 77. It reads, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act is a United States federal law authorizing the president to regulate international commerce after declaring a national emergency in response to any unusual and extraordinary threat to the United States, which has its source in whole or substantial part outside the United States. None of that describes 2025, none of it. And the president.
The only thing is the first two words, but the rest of it, no. And these guys were well aware of what was going on. And if you start looking at the practice under this particular statute, virtually all the cases were like that. There had to be some precipitating act which completely dislocated a market and exchange and so forth. Here, it's just business as usual. Deficits have been a part of the international trade economy from the beginning.
And Professor, without your education and your skill set, I read that once and I understand what it means. So does the president's lieutenants, the people who are arguing this in court. So what are they hanging their hopes on? They've gone to the Federal Court of Appeals. They're quote after quote in the Wall Street Journal. The judge is saying, no, we don't follow your argument. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. What is the president? What are the president's supporters thinking they're going to win at the Supreme Court?
The argument that they are making is that all of these statutes give an inherent amount of extraordinary discretion to the president, and that even if you disagree with the policy, what you have to do is to assume that that discretion in him as the executive officer of the United States allows him to do more or less what he wants.
A national emergency in response to any unusual and extraordinary threat. What?
John, I hate to inform you that you're right, but I will say sadly, no, this is the whole case. It's the theater of the absurd. Look, this is very dangerous. Trump is an imperial president of the worst sort on these things. In this particular case, is disregarding Congress, and then on a whole variety of other cases having to do with due process rights of given individuals, he tends to ignore the courts. And so what he's trying to do is to say that nobody can pen him in, and that a three-branch government really has only one branch, and the one branch has only one guy that matters, and that one guy is me.
All right, let us prepare for the president being turned back by the Supreme Court. Does that mean all the talk that we've had since Liberation Day goes away?
We don't know. One of the constant features that you have in all these cases is you exceed your presidential authority, enter into a deal. After the deal is entered into, the rug is pulled out from underneath you. Do you undo all the other previous arrangements, or do you say those last, but nothing else can go on further? That issue has been fought time and time again, and it always comes in a difficult case. My view about it under these circumstances is it's close enough in time that the president had full knowledge of all the arguments against him, and that what I would do is I would basically sack every single one of the deals that we had because we know what we're going back to. Judge Dyke said it. We have these elaborate schedules that have been negotiated by Congress. There's no problem with unlawful delegation. There's no problem of emergency. It's not going into a void. It's going back to the status quo ante, which was well defined. And that's what I would do. And I would slap him down. I mean, I think this man on this issue is the most dangerous person in the world. Many things I agree with him. You know, my motto has always been tell Trump a la carte. You have to take him one at a time.
Right,
but he's just simply beyond himself.
Let's count the court. Let's have fun. There are 9 votes here. And the interpretation by Judge Dyke, let's make that our standard. This Congress worked this out. What are you doing? All right. Well, is there anyone against Judge Dyke?
Well, Judge Dyke is a judge from the left of the court. I mean, so you're not talking about a rightist. But he's right on this thing. He's extremely active, been around for a very long time. I think the vote should be 9-0. Unless Kijanzi Jackson pulls some kind of a wacko situation. But on this one, I don't think she would. Remember, her major shtick is that everything Trump does should be struck down. So it's hard to see her switching to the other side saying,
What about Gorsuch?
Gorsuch is a loose cannon on some issues. But on this one, remember, he has been the leader of the non-delegation doctrine group for years,
right,
starting from his time on the 10th Circuit. And so this would be very congenial to him. The Chief Justice is the one person who might waver on the grounds that he doesn't want to get involved.
Always likes to defer to Congress. Isn't this inviting him to defer to Congress?
It certainly is, as they did with the Affordable Trade Act. I do not see a vote on the other side, if that's the question that you're asking. I think the liberals are all that way, and the conservatives are deeply offended. And in fact, both sides have exactly the same situation. He has basically taken a statute which is designed to have narrow circumstances and treating it as if it owes him a complete discretion to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And he sounds like basically an imperialist when he takes this on. And I don't think any of them are going to support him. As I said, I think the biggest mistake in this case was not giving a preliminary injunction. I may be wrong, but if so, it's only for a pragmatic reason.
All right, final question, Professor, and we move on to climate. All right, final question. How fast can this happen?
It can happen tomorrow.
So the appeals goes to the court, and the court—
But then what they say is, we've looked at this. We'll give you our opinion in 10 days, but right now what happens is we have concluded he does not have this authority, and you put a paragraph out, give the injunction, and then say the clock is running, go for certiorari to the Supreme Court.
And the
so
court
it can
take
quickly if they want to.
The court can take it up immediately.
Yes, remember, August 7th is a key day. And it would be wildly imprudent for this court, if it's going to strike this thing down, to wait till August 8th to do it when the tariffs are put into place. So I think, in fact, you know, Monday morning comes along, it may well be that you'll have a decision. Nobody knows because we're in terra incognita.
Right. But that's why I'm glad to have you as a guide out front. All right, we're going to go to the climate. Professor Richard Epstein for the Civitas Institute.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.